I'm so glad to be here with you today. We want to share a Christmas tradition in our house with you, and I want to ask Marcia and Anna and Zoe if they would join me on the platform this morning. And one thing we do every single year is during Christmas, we... Good morning, babies. Come on, you can come sit over here by Mama. I know you love Mama more than me. Y'all think I'm kidding right now. I guarantee you she does. You love Mommy more than Daddy?
Yes.
There's confirmation right there. Moms, if you ever wondered how important you are to your babies, who do you love more? Don't answer that. You're too old. She's 5. She gets away with it. You don't get away with it. But, you know, one of the things we do every single Christmas, and if somebody could locate my lost wife, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. One of the things we do every single Christmas in our house is we read the Christmas story to the kids before they go to bed. Now, they're very well behaved today, and don't let them kid you. They are normally absolutely bouncing off the walls. And so reading this story to them, oh, there she is, long lost lovely wife. Good morning. Good to see you. Y'all let Marcia know how much you love her today. All right. So they're bouncing off the wall. So chasing them around to read a story is like near impossible. But we thought since Christmas Eve, we're all going to be together. Well, we wanted to be able to read the Christmas story to Anna and Zoe. And we're glad that you as our church family get to be a part of that too. Is that okay with y'all today? Yeah. That be all right? All right, here we go. You ready? You ready, Anna? Are you excited about Christmas?
Maybe.
What are you excited about?
Getting presents.
That was a dumb question, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. We're going to read the real Christmas story. I mean, the real one. 'Twas the night before Christmas. No, I don't think that's quite right. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly.
And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Zoe, what was she supposed to name the baby?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's right. Good job. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Now in the sixth month of the angel, Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
What was her name, Zoe?
Mary.
A little help. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was.
Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man?
And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant.
There was no room for them in the inn. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. You got some barnyard animals, don't you?
We do.
A couple goats, chickens, what else?
Bunnies.
Rabbits, yeah, but none of that's in this story, so.
Hopefully an alpaca tomorrow morning.
I hope Santa Claus is real. Because no matter how much mommy kisses Santa Claus, I ain't bringing one. Suddenly, an angel, back to the story, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.
The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by the vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men."
I love that. If you ever wondered what God's will is towards us, it tells us right there it's good. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger.
After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born.
So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring him backwards to me. Then I may come and worship him also."
When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy.
And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
You see that, Zoe? See the manger?
Yes.
Who's that laying in the hay?
Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Zoe, what's Christmas all about?
Jesus.
Jesus. Why are you excited about tomorrow?
Presents.
What do you think? Do you know what you're going to get? What are you wanting?
I don't know.
You don't know? Nothing specific?
A horse.
Oh, my goodness. You've been talking to your mother. A llama.
Alpaca.
Alpaca.
They bought a zoo. His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
You believe in Jesus? Yes. And accepted him. Have you accepted him?
Yes.
Okay. He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. If you're thankful for the Christmas story today and that there is power in it to change your life, would you give Jesus praise this morning? Amen. I thank God for the power of the gospel and how simple that message is, yet it transforms lives every single day. You know, the gospel is good news. That's literally what gospel means. Somebody say, the gospel is good news. Jesus is good news. He's not just any news. He's actually the best news. Somebody say, Jesus is the best news. And so the gospel means good news. And that's what I want to share with you today. Actually, the angel said, I bring to you good news that will bring great joy. Somebody say, great joy. to all people, to all of us. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. Now, we live in a world full of bad news. Bad news is what sells. But how many of you like good news? Okay, this side's pretty good. This side needs some help. How many over here like good news? Right? In the balcony. Y'all like good news up there? Just wave at me, right? We like to hear good news. But today, I have news for you that's better than the bank calling to inform you that your checking account, you know, the account that you had plenty of money to cover all those checks you wrote the bills off of, that's the one. The bank called just to let you know that there was a problem with the electronic deposit of your paycheck. Somebody say, uh-oh. It wasn't the usual amount. It was actually 10 times more than it was supposed to have been, and your boss told you, just go on and keep it. Come on, that's some reason right there to give God praise. That's good news. I'm talking about better news than your mechanic telling you that the engine that had exploded is actually fine. It was only a blown fuse that was 42 cents. Can somebody give God praise for that today? I'm talking about your boss coming to you and giving you that look and saying, I need to see you in my office. And once he brings you in there and asks you to sit down to tell you what he's got to say, he says, I just wanted to bring you in to tell you how amazing you are as an employee. Somebody give God praise for that relief. How about when your child's teacher calls you in for that meeting about their progress and it's not parent-teacher week? I mean, the dread hits you instantly. And they bring you in and set you down just to tell you your kid is an absolute genius and the greatest joy of their career. Come on, give God praise for genius kids. And then here's one coming up. How about on April 16th, your accountant calls you and says, after doing your taxes for last year, you owe nothing. Come on, somebody give God praise. But God sending his son from heaven to earth for us is the best news of all. Jesus coming for us when we couldn't get to him is the greatest news you could ever hear. There's nothing better than that. And there's three reasons why it's amazing. Number one, it's because God loves you. Somebody say, God loves me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you are so loved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Our Father in heaven showed us how crazy passionate about us he was when he sent his son Jesus Christ into this world for you and for me. And I want to tell you today that God doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. That's good news today, because I don't always love who I am, but I always love who he is. He doesn't love you today because of what you do. He loves you because of what Jesus has done. That's good news today, because I don't always like the things I do. But can I tell you, God's love towards me never changes, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you've come from. God so loves you. Can you give him praise for that today? See, his love isn't performance-based. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it said, God demonstrated. He showed us how much he loved us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, don't misunderstand me today. We're not saying that you don't have to change because God loves you no matter what you do. That's not what we're saying at all. That's not what Jesus said. Actually, he said, repent or you'll perish. In other words, you've got to change or you're going to die. But my question for you is, where does that change come from? Because I meet a lot of believers who feel like they have to do this and they have to do that, and they're trying so hard. Where does that transformation come from? Most people think, if I just live better, if I just clean up my act, if I just stop doing these things and I start doing those things, maybe then God will love me, or God will accept me, or God will be pleased with me, or God will bless me. And I come to tell you today that the good news is, you don't have to change so that God will love you, but you can change because God loves you. His love is where I begin. It's not where I end. Hallelujah. It's my motive. It's not my incentive. He loves you today. How many of you know you're loved by God? Amen? And that's a big relief. The burden falls off of our back. It's good news. It relieves us. And it's time for us to stop trying to satisfy an already satisfied God. And what happens is, when you understand that God loves you like that, instead of you trying on your own to change from the outside in, and you're doing all the work out of fear, can I tell you, God's love will begin to transform you from the inside out. And now, I'm not changing so he'll love me, I'm changing because he loves you. Can you give God praise for his love today? Number two, and this is super good news. You ready? You ready? Thank you for all two of you over there in the back corner far away. You're invited to lunch in my house. Are you ready for good news number two? Okay, here it is. You don't have to die. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, are there any believers in the house today? Oh, there ought to be a lot of happy people that aren't going to die. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's good news if I don't have to die, because if I don't have to die, it means that I can live. Can I tell you today, Jesus came so that you could live. You actually were not created to die. You were created to live. Oh, certainly there's going to be a day I stop breathing, but in Christ, I'm never going to stop living. November 5th of 1978, I took my first breaths in this earth, but it was not until I was born again in the summer of 1999 that I really began to live. And there will come a day that I'm going to stop breathing and my body will be buried in the ground, certainly. But because Jesus is Lord and Savior in my life, I will never, ever, ever stop living. And that's good news today, because Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have and enjoy life. How many of you want to enjoy the life you have, right? That's why Jesus came. That's good news. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. But there was a big problem. Sin had separated us from God. Sin had erected this wall. Sin had blocked us out of the blessings of God. Sin had locked us out of the family of God. Like a divorce God did not desire, he was brokenhearted over what sin had done, and that man had betrayed him and betrayed what he had given them. And so he sends his son Jesus to remove the thing that had separated us from him, the thing that had brought death upon us. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so sin had made us the enemy of God. But the good news today, Paul, is very simply this, that when I was an enemy of God because of what Jesus did at Calvary, through his death, burial, and resurrection, when I put my faith in him, I am moved from enemy of God to friend of God. God makes me more than friend Becky. He makes me a part of his family. He makes me more than just some third rate cousin twice removed, right? He makes me his own child. He gives me equal rights and privileges as Jesus. He says, I'm an heir to God, and he says, I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and he says, what's mine is yours. Can you give God praise that Jesus came and did that for you today? So that's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. That's what life is really all about. It's all about him. It begins with him. It ends with him. He is our life. And Jesus saved us from sin. He took it out of the way. Sin's no longer an issue so that we can live in victory. He didn't come to save us in our sin so that you could struggle your whole life. He came to save you from your sin. And that's good news today. And number three today, finally, is simply this. You are created to make a difference. That's good news, because I meet people all the time who have no purpose and they feel like my life doesn't matter. They feel like my life doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. But I come to tell you that God created you to make a difference. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you're important. Look at your other neighbor that you just totally rejected and let them know you're valuable too. But you were created to make a difference. Here's why that's important. There's more to life than just you trying to make enough money to pay your bills. That's good news. You are created to make a living. You are created to make a difference. Amen. Amen? Your life has meaning. It has value. It has purpose. And what we love to say is that living for Jesus is about so much more than getting ready for the last day of your life. It's about making the most of every day God's given you. So many people segment their Christianity into, oh, this is kind of my fire insurance, and I got to make sure this is taken care of, and got to make sure I believe in Jesus so I don't go to hell when I die and I go to heaven. It's not like that at all. God wants you to live with him every single day, beginning right now. He wants you to make a difference right now. There's a unique mission God has given each of us and all of us. I'm talking about the reason you were born. It's his purpose that makes every day an adventure filled with discovery. His purpose is a plan that makes us greater than we ever could have been without it. Actually, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God says, for I know the plans I have for you. He's planned your life out. He said, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And here's the reality, y'all. His plan is the best plan. I tried doing it my way. But it didn't work so good. I took my life and made a mess out of his masterpiece. But when I put my life in his hands and I begin to follow his plan, I can tell you that it's a path of no regrets. I can tell you I used to lay in bed awake at night and I couldn't go to sleep because of regret in my life and shame and things I had done that I wish I didn't and things I didn't do that I wish I would have. But can I tell you now, I can't sleep at night, but it's for a different reason. It's because I'm so excited about what the next day holds. It's because I'm so excited to see what God has for me next. It's an adventure every single day. And what I've learned is the secret of life is not having what you want. The secret to living is not more stuff or more money or a promotion or a bigger house or a better job or a different car or a different spouse or whatever you think it might be. There's one thing and one thing only. And that is a life-giving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in that relationship that everything good flows into my life. Every good and every perfect gift comes down to me from my Father in heaven. Is anybody thankful to have a Father today who's happy to bless you? He gave you his only Son. How much will he give you everything else? So this series we've been doing, Jesus Is. And for me today, Jesus is good news. Jesus is my author. He's my maker. He's my ransom and he's my savior. He's my refuge in my hiding place. He's my helper and my healer, my blessed redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. He's my hope in the shadows and my strength in the battles and the anchor of all of my days. He stands by my side and he stood in my place. He's my hero, defender who shielded me from wrath. He lifted me out of the gutter and he put me on a new path. He's my freedom and forgiveness, my fearless champion. He's the change I've always wanted but could never make happen. He's my greatest addiction, the best high I've ever had. He's the reason I go to God and I get to call him dad. I call him Jesus and he calls me Josh. I am his servant and he is my boss. He is my benchmark, the very best version of me. He takes my potential and he creates possibility. He's near when I need him, the best thing that's ever happened to me. And that's why I'll never forget why he came, his perfect life, and what he did for me on a cross at Calvary. Would you give God praise today that Jesus is the answer to everything you're searching for? John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "And this is the real and eternal life, that they may know you." It's that simple. Real life and eternal life is knowing Jesus and the Father who sent him. My question for you today is simply this. Do you know him? Do you know the God we're talking about today? Have you accepted the gift of his love? Let me read to you a letter I received this last week. It says, "Jesus is what we make him. He is my place I call home. I need to find myself, so I place myself in Jesus' home. Church is my home. Church with Jesus is my starting point to open my eyes and creating my new life. As of today, December 2nd, 2017, God is creating me. I'm willing to accept my wrongful doings. I'm willing to admit my wrong. I see I'm human and can change. Being verbally, mentally, emotionally abused, being mistreated, being a woman, and the what mother that I need to be, Jesus in his own home is making me that person and changing me and bringing my kids along with me. I turn my faith to Jesus. Jesus is hope. And today I turn my heart to the Lord. This is the place I feel I need to be. I need a place to call home, and victory is my place of home. I need change. I hate myself for allowing the things that have happened to take place. I became a monster. I want change. Jesus is my light and can change me and can save me and create me into the woman and mother that I want and know I can be." Can you give God praise for transformation in that heart and life? With every head bowed and every eye closed right where you're seated today, I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes right where you are. I want to ask you that question. Do you know Jesus? See, friends, it's really simple. The Bible says to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to be children of God. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Josh, I really just came for somebody else, but today I hear what you're saying and I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to Christ." In just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, all I want you to do is slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. Everybody's head is bowed. Everybody's eyes are closed. This is between you and God, and I just want you to wave at me and say, "Remember me in that prayer today." Maybe you're here today and you say, "Josh, I walked with Christ at one time, but I know I've let sin creep in and crowd him out. To be honest with you, I feel far from him today. Friend, no matter how far from heaven you feel, God is as close as the whisper of his name. And he loves you today. He's the Father that's always home. His arms are open wide. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody's better. Nobody's worse. All of us were sinners in need of a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And so you're in a safe place today. And God is calling you and he's inviting you to come. He loves you. But my question is, have you believed in him and accepted his love? If you're here today and you say, Josh, today I want to give my heart to Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm about to count to three. And when I do, I want you to shoot your hand up and say, remember me when you pray today. Josh, that's me. Today, I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. One, two, three. Josh, that's me. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. I see you there. Is there someone else here today?